Official, it's Danielle Fischel,
Ryder Strong,
and Will Friedle from Pod Meets World.
Does friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste.
Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten.
Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party.
So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles.
Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spellwork, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Hey everybody, so before we get into this amazing episode with Lindsay, I wanted to make an announcement. This year, the Witchful Thinking podcast is doing its very first Yule gift exchange, and we're super excited to announce it. We really hope everything goes smoothly, but basically we announced this yesterday on Instagram, and we announced it the night before in the Witchful Thinking Coven group, which if you're not part of that group, you really should be because we announced stuff first there. But basically, what's going to happen for this gift exchange? There is a Google form that you will need to fill out if you want to be a part of this gift exchange. We're choosing to use Amazon this year as our gifting platform simply because it allows users to keep their addresses private through gift wish lists. If you have any issues with this form at all, please get in touch with myself, Brooke, or Liz at thewitchfulthinkingpodcast@gmail.com. So some rules for the gift exchange. The last day to fill out the Google form is going to be November 28th. The name drawing will take place on November 29th. You need to make sure that your wish list on Amazon is public. We'll email you the link to the list of the person that you're matched with, so keep an eye on your inbox. And we're really encouraging people to place reasonably priced gifts on their list, meaning $25 or less. And if possible, send your gift sooner rather than later so that it has time to arrive at the home of your giftee before the holidays hit towards the end of December. And then, of course, once your gift has been purchased and sent, please just email us at thewitchfulthinkingpodcast@gmail.com to let us know so we can track who has and has not participated. So we are super excited about this, and I'm really hoping that it goes smoothly. This is the first time I've ever organized something like this, and I have no idea how it's going to turn out, but I just really wanted to do something special this year for you guys. You deserve it. I think it's going to be really, really fun. So please check the link in the description of this episode to be taken to the Witchful Thinking Yule gift exchange form. Again, if you have any issues filling out the form for any reason, you can contact us via email, you can reach out on Instagram, and of course you can reach out through the Witchful Thinking Coven Facebook group. If you're not already a member, just just request to join, and I will approve you probably within the day. So yeah, this is going to be great. I'm super excited. Now that I'm done talking about that, I'm also really excited to be able to bring this episode to you guys with Lindsay Schoolcraft, who is one of the fucking coolest people I've ever spoken to in my life. She is ethereal. She is incredible, and I really hope that you guys enjoy this episode.
Welcome back to the Witchful Thinking podcast. We're so full of surprises these days with all the different guests that we have had on, and today's no different. We have a really cool guest on. Her name is Lindsay Schoolcraft, aka Lens Riot on Instagram. And if you love fucking Evanescence or Flyleaf, or you were a little like emo baddie at heart slash are still an emo baddie at heart, this is your girl. And I'm so excited to talk to you today. I feel like it's going to be such a cool conversation. And yeah, so in true Witchful Thinking fashion, we're raw dogging the conversation today.
That's fine. That's been my whole career.
I love it. Look how far you've gotten. You've gotten so far. It works.
Thanks. It works. Yeah. Many things have worked, but yeah, cheers. Thanks so much for having me. I think the algorithm pushed you onto my Spotify like earlier this year. And then as like life opened up and got chaotic here, especially here in Canada, I'm just like, this is my new favorite podcast. And it's just such a joy to like be on the podcast right now. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I love when people tell us like that the show like showed up in their algorithm or like on Spotify, like kind of when they needed it most, like kind of like divine podcast intervention. So that's good. That's great.
Yeah. It was around the time I was getting back into the craft, so to say. And I was like, I need a good podcast. And you guys are just so like nonchalant but informative. I'm like, this is my people. Cause you know, like some people, no offense to them, their podcast is like they're teaching you and it's like, oh man, I feel like I'm back in school and I gotta do homework. You guys are not like that. I learn stuff and I get to laugh, learn about Lexapro and manifestation, constipation.
Oh my god. I forgot we named an episode manifestation constipation. I mean, really, we don't give any fucks around here. Like that's why we had to rebrand, because we were like, honestly, we're just like 220 somethings who just happen to talk about witchcraft sometimes. Like, we need to not make people think that this entire podcast is just about witchcraft, because they're going to be sorely disappointed.
I mean, it's all part of the journey, right? It's like who you are and what you're going through. Like, there's some magic to it. So never think that it's like not, you know what I mean? That it's not present. That's how I've always seen it. So,
yeah. And it makes us happy. So, you know, and clearly, you know, it makes people who want to be on the show happy, because otherwise they wouldn't volunteer to be a guest.
Like, just every time an episode goes up, I'm like, oh, what have these two girls been up to again? Who's going to fly through a car window today? Like, I get like excited, because I'm like, I know there's going to be some crazy ass story. And it's so cool, because like I'm in my late 30s and like I don't do life like I did in my 20s, so I feel like I'm vicariously living through both of you. I'm like, oh, they're figuring it out and they're so young and they can still destroy themselves and bounce back.
They can still destroy. Literally, that is kind of how I look at like people in their early 20s, like 19 to like 22. I'm like, oh, back in my day. And like, I keep forgetting, like, Brooke, like, you're not even 30 yet. Like, chill out.
You're an old soul. I used to talk like that in my late 20s, and now I'm in my late 30s, and I'm just like, oh man, y'all is young. And then my mom's like, shut up. Like, my mom's going to be 70 in the spring, and she's like, don't talk to me about being old, okay?
She's like, you don't have any idea what it feels like to be old until you wake up and the eye bags don't go away. Like, please.
Yeah, and you sound like a transformer and everything hurts. And yeah, I've been told, good old hello to Brunhilde, good old Brunhilde telling me about what life's really like.
Wait, is that your mom's name?
Yeah, she hates it.
That's really her name? I've never met anyone in my life with that actual name.
Oh, really? No, she was born in Germany. She's, well, we're Romanian, which ties into everything. But she was born in Germany, and my Oma named her after the Valkyrie in Wagner's symphony, which is really interesting because, like, I ended up doing music, right? So I just think it's ironic that my Oma named her that. It was so weird. But yeah, it's an epic name. It's like, she's an epic woman. Like, she's had a life. So, you know, you need an epic name to go along with it. But no one could ever get her name right. So everyone calls her Bruni, which is really interesting too.
Oh, okay. I would have that. I love that though. Like, I feel like that sounds very ancient and like wise.
Yes. Which she is. She's very smart. So
it sounds very witchy too.
It is. That's like my side of the family. That's like, we're all magical, but we won't admit it.
Yeah, that sounds like that's like a play on a Disney movie. Like, that's like, what is it? It's not Halloween Town, is it? No. What's the one where like everyone in her family like denies that they're like witches?
It's so funny because like it was Encanto was the most recent one, and then when I finished watching it, I'm like, y'all's witches, like, y'all's real. Like she like bakes things so they heal everyone, and I'm like, like where is like what is not what Disney?
I loved it. That I God, Disney movies have gotten like so good. Like I am not like a Disney adult by any means. No offense to anyone listening to this. If you are a Disney adult, like you do you boo, but like I loved Luca. I loved Encanto. I loved fucking Moana. Like. Mm. They're just so pretty. It's just like the visuals and the music. They're so pretty. Now, I'm not the kind of person who like listens to like a Disney soundtrack. Like, I'm not going to do that.
That's my musician friends in Quebec. Justine knows I'm calling her out right now. She'll like get a few drinks in her and then throw on like Tarzan or The Lion King or Beauty and the Beast. But like, you have to understand, like we were born in the 80s and grew up in the 90s. Like going to the theaters to see like The Little Mermaid or The Lion King for the first time or Aladdin was like a huge deal for us, right? So I don't know why it's like their drinking music is Disney and you know, so when we're sober we do metal and when they're drunk they do Disney, and I'm like, okay,
it's literally like pink versus black, like it's so different.
Yeah, so
Jekyll and Hyde moment. I mean, you know, whatever, like whatever suits you. I definitely like when I drink I end up listening like really sad music.
Is but it
like I do that when I'm sober too, but
say is it Alt J, because I checked them out because of you guys.
Oh my god, Alt J is like an anytime mood, like for oh god, I love Alt J so much.
I could tell you bring them up a lot, and I went and checked them out because I also produce music, right? So I was like listening and I was like, yeah, this has witchy undertones at moments, like this is really magical, like it's not my thing, right? But I still appreciate it, so I see why you like it.
They're really cool. A lot of people laugh I think a lot at them because like their music sounds like cool, but like at the end of the day, like do you really like know what they're saying? No, because like
probably not.
No, like their words are all like strewn together, and it's kind of the same as like I don't know if you've ever heard of Slender Bodies.
I checked them out too because of your story. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I still don't listen to them to this day because I'm still salted about the fact that they canceled their concert twice, and my friend and I were like mad about it. But like
that is crappy. There's no excuse. Like no artist in this modern day should like do that. You know what I mean? Like there's people running your social media. Fan writes in and says, "Hey, this happened." You bring it to someone and you make it right. So when I heard that episode, I was like, what? Like, what's wrong with them? You know, like they need to get a better team in place. That is not cool.
It's such a bummer. But I was like, you know, I know that you're like a smaller artist, but like that almost makes it worse because I know you've got like probably like got a little bit more time than like, I don't know, say fucking Beyonce to be like tending to this type of PR stuff. But one day maybe I'll forgive them. That day is not today.
That's fair. You take all the time you need. That was not a good experience. I would be like so upset if that happened.
Yeah, it blew. And then okay, let's see, like the last concert I'm trying to think that I went to, Remy Wolf. Have you ever heard of Remy Wolf?
Check him out though.
She's great. I saw her recently. I saw like Ethel Kane this year.
Oh, she's good. God.
Cocaine is perfect. And
she's unreal.
It is. She is unreal. Like, actually, I'm not sure if it's she or they. Well, I'll just say they just to be like, you know, Ethel, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Don't hate us.
If I if I gave you the wrong pronouns. But yeah, Ethel Kane puts on a great show. I'm just like very into that type of feminine ethereal voice in music. And I think it just hits like this internal chord with me or something. I don't know if it's like something to do with like when I was in utero or something. But the point I'm trying to make here is I was listening to some of your music beforehand because I wanted to like get a feel for the genre that you typically like perform in and produce. And it struck that chord and it just, I just love it. It just, I just felt like, I don't know, like, 11-year-old me was getting to meet like her favorite.
Oh,
so like, tell me, how did you start like what's your background? How did you get to be where you are now as an artist?
I mean, it did start with Disney as a kid.
Okay.
But like not reliving it all the time in my adult years. But no, it was just kind of it was a thing where music was always in my life. Like I grew up in like a heavily like Roman Catholic school system. You've had enough episodes about people and their religious trauma. So I won't go down that. But we always had like plays and choir. So it started there. But as a really young kid, I was really fanatical about animals. Everyone thought I was going to be the next Jane Goodall or a zoologist or a vet or something. So, you know, I was like, oh yeah, this is it, up until high school when everything changed. But music was always kind of there. And it was like my second favorite thing to do, other than like, you know, study animals for hours in an end. Why? I don't know. Micromania is a beautiful thing. So then it got to high school, and long story short, had a really bad guidance counselor who told me like I wasn't smart enough to become a zoologist. I love your face. You're just like, oh, hell no.
Ew. Oh, God.
Yeah. It was really heart-wrenching at the time, because like I was... like I found out this year that I actually am on the spectrum and I'm gifted, but I was written off in school because of my learning disability. I was written off as just like unfocused and like not smart enough. But like, actually, if I had the support, God knows where I would have ended up. But whatever, here we are today. So I was struggling, and they put me in like the college stream, and then I went to therapy and I went to this guidance counselor, and I'm like, hey, like, I really want to be a zoologist. It's been the dream of mine my whole life. Can you please bump me back into academic? Like, I have the support now and I want to go through with this. And she was just like, she literally turned to me and just said, like, I don't think you're smart enough to do it. So I'm like 14. Okay. And I was like, oh my God, I was devastated. But during that year, I was like, well, I love music and I love arts. And I just like, you know, in the college stream, you can do all the art stuff, because it like all the art stuff in high school here is neither university or college. It's just kind of there, you know, for everyone to go into. So I had like one semester, it was like a breeze. It was like dance, visual arts, singing, and music class. It was so easy. Mm-hmm. So I started going back to music and got like my first bass guitar and started singing. And then I was like, oh, you know what, like, I think this is it. So it just all went from there. And it's weird, because a lot of the bands I listened to in high school, I've worked with now years later, which is even weirder. That's my fault. That's my law of attraction really in motion. But yeah, I've done everything. I have classical training. I was in a punk band. I've written country songs. I was, you know, I still am technically like in extreme heavy metal. I've toured the world for 7 years with an extreme heavy metal band called Cradle of Filth.
Get out. Are you serious?
Yeah. Do you know who Cradle is?
Yeah.
No, I was that was me for 7 years. 2 albums, Hammer the Witches and Cryptoriana. Yeah, so that was me. And that was an experience for sure. And then I had burnout and had to leave, and then the pandemic hit, so became a producer, and here we are now. So I kind of do everything, but it's really like, you know, yeah, sure, I practice the craft, but it's really, music is my religion. It's my language. It's my love language. It's my existence. I don't know anything if it's not there, kind of thing.
Oh my God. I'm just so shook that you Cradle of Filth. Are you kidding me?
Well, like, I hated in high school. I couldn't stand them. I was like, yo, what's this shit? It's so epic, but his voice is like sandpaper. This is
yeah,
bueno.
That's exactly what I was gonna say, is like, how? Like, what?
And a pure fluke. So this is the thing, like I mentioned when I was like, I want to be on your show, I want to talk about manifestation, because I wrote like years prior to them contacting me, I wrote on a vision board, I want to tour the world with a symphonic black metal band, because that was like my jam at the time. And I was like gunning for Dimmu Borgir, not that there was any position available for me in that band ever. And years later, I just like got a friend contacted me out of the blue who knew the band, said, hey, like they need a keyboardist, do you want to join? And I was in university for classical composition. And I was like, yeah, I hate school. And Cradle Filth's not always going to be there, but I can just come back to school whenever I want. I still haven't gone back to school. And and I remember telling my mom, we were on the way to a family reunion when I like got the call. And I was like, Mom, I'm going to quit uni and join this band. And my mom was like so fed up with my shit at this point in my life. She was like, Lindsay, you're just going to do what you're going to do. And it was like, I'm not even disappointed. I have given up on you.
God. No. She's like, you know what? I'm just going to leave you to do the stupid shit you're going to do.
Yeah. That was her being like, I'm getting so drunk at this family reunion tonight because you're just bringing shame to our family. It worked out fine. I got nominated for a Juno here in Canada, which is like a Grammy in our world so up here.
Cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it was like the ultimate dream. I've been manifesting and working towards that since I was like 15. And now my mom has it like framed in the hallway. Like it's the first thing you see when you go into their house. So like, she's proud. We're cool. But she didn't understand it for the longest time. She's like, why do you like being poor? Why do you like wearing the same shoes with holes in them for 5 years? And I'm like, I don't like this, Mom. It's what I have to do to make this happen.
Yeah. Oh my God. I that's so cool though that she has it like hanging up. It's yeah, like
sweet
parent who like never wanted the pet, and then the pet and the parent become like BFFs.
That's kind of how I feel about my whole relationship with her.
Yeah.
It's like, man, why can't you be like my friend's kids? They're all getting lawyered up and turning into doctors, and you're just over here like playing
head banging,
yeah, and crying over your piano. What kind of careers?
Well, like, I mean, she had to have seen it coming if you'd always been like musical and whatnot when you were younger. Like, there's only, you know, kids right. who are like that, they're not gonna be mathematicians. They're not gonna want to sit behind a desk their whole life. That's just not.
Well, that's the thing. And I mean, if the school system was different, which it's still not really to this day, and I had like, I would have done good homeschooling, because like the noise, like the environment, like so many girls and women don't get diagnosed with autism until years later because we mask it and we hide it so well, is where the boys are like acting out and telling the world that they're on the spectrum. We're over here like, you know, pretending to be normal, and it's absolutely brutally exhausting for us. So my mom couldn't even support me understanding that that's what I was going through, because autism in girls like wasn't a thing really back then. We're talking like 30, 25 years. Well, I'm sure it was a thing, but like we just weren't seeing it. So, but yeah, she should have known like when it, like I throw on the Disney and start like acting out the scenes and dancing to like along to the Lion King, I could verbatim like, you know, sing and act out all of the Lion King. She should have, like, theater kid, like, come on, Mom.
Yeah. Once you figure out you have a theater kid, you should just be like prepared for anything else. They're a very different breed.
Yes, they are. And the ones who make it to theater, my sister's best friend is like full-time in theater now. He's been like the genie in Aladdin, and he's done Shrek, and it's like, oh, we knew from time, sweetie. Like, we knew this was gonna be your career.
That's so cool though. Like, oh my God, that's the ultimate dream, is like growing up and being able to perform and like all of these things that you watched on TV growing up. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's super cool.
Is he like really into Disney?
Oh, of course.
Okay. I was gonna be
like my whole high school was. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's weird. The Roman Catholic school system would just let Disney in. Like they wouldn't support like other stuff, and like we were so edgy and rebellious, like listening to nu metal and going to see Queen of the Damned, but like the only thing they really allowed, like there were certain plays that were allowed in the school system, and Disney was safe. So like we're like, well, we got Disney, let's have fun with this because we're not allowed a lot. So.
Oh my God, that's wild to me. I'm assuming they didn't allow Harry Potter. Harry Potter wasn't out yet.
I think it was. I want to say it was near the end of my high school career. Well, we had Lord of the Rings. We like when the Lord of the Rings trilogy came out, and no one really questioned that. Uh, like, oh, it's all magical. It doesn't exist. Who cares? When Harry Potter came out, like, no one was really against it, but like everyone was reading it and talking about it. But it was more like a, like, I'm pretty sure we weren't allowed to read it or do a book report on it. I don't remember that.
Oh my God. I think that's so funny because I grew up with so many kids who, like, they didn't go to, you know, we both went, we all of us went to like public school, but their parents like wouldn't let them read Harry Potter because they thought they'd try to like make wands and stuff out of like sticks in the yard. I'm like, okay, like worst case scenario, like your kid like makes a potion out in the yard. What do you think they're gonna do is come like stab you in the eye with a dirty stick?
It's like, if your kid's into Voldemort, then I'd be concerned, but I'm pretty sure they were chill with all the other good characters, you know? Yeah. So like, no, there wasn't like, I don't know, it was kind of like witchcraft was like Voldemort in my high school, like that, which we do not talk about. But then like, you know, you'd be reading the Bible and you want to ask about like angels and like stuff that's like close to Christian mysticism, and they're just like, not, they're just like, don't question it. And I'm like, but I got kicked out of class a lot just for like questioning.
Yes, oh my God, you're looked at as like the black sheep, literally.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like one teacher's like, animals don't have souls, they're here for us to use, they're here for our consumption. And I'm like, what? That's
fucking weird.
I know. I'm like, how do you like want to become a teacher, but then like you want to go into the Roman Catholic school system? Like, what
sense?
Why would you do that with your life? And just like yeah, like you are the reason children like grew up to have therapists. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And truly, like everybody who's gone through that school system, any religious educational system, they all remember like specific things that their teachers and like the school admin said to them. Like, literally, even you, like you literally word for word, the counselor being like, you're not smart enough. Like, that scars people for life. I'm scared to even look at like my niece is wrong because I'm worried they're going to remember it for the rest of their life.
Oh no. And that's the thing, because it kind of like those moments where it like it stops you in your tracks and you're like, what? Like, you like here's an example, you like crush a child's soul, or like their wonderment and their excitement to do something with their life when they're out of there. And I remember being in like grade 7 and 8 and like super getting into biology, because it's like, I'm going to be a zoologist. And I'm like looking at cells under a microscope, and I'm like writing a report and just being like a super nerd, right? Super nerd here. I don't care. I'm proud of being a nerd. And the teacher came up to me, and I'm like trying really hard, and I'm like excelling. And I'm like, I wouldn't say like making everyone look bad, but like, I really had it together. Like, that report was seamless for being in grade 7. And I remember, and she's like, you know, like, this is really good. Like, what are you thinking? And I'm like, oh, it's just like preparation for when I become a zoologist. Like, I said this to my teacher, and she's like, why would you want to do that? You're just going to get married and have kids. Why pursue a career?
Ew.
I know. And it's just stuck with me to this day, like why this teacher would say this to me. And of course, being on the spectrum, I'm like shocked, masking, going home and crying. My mom doesn't know why. Processing it, and then like not like either forgetting it or like not dealing with it until years later. So I'm just like sitting there like, I'm not smart enough, why pursue a career? Like, it's just like they put these crazy beliefs into your head so young, and then you're like, you know, you get out in the real world when you're 20 and it's just like you're floating around and you're like, why is everything so hard? What did I do wrong? I went to school.
Yeah, like, what did I do wrong? I'm just gonna go start a metal band and headbang my way through life, and I'll be so much happier.
That was the escape. That I never planned to be in a metal band. I was in school for classical music. I have 8 years of training in theory, and play the piano, I play the harp, like it's my jam. And this metal band, like, I was listening to metal because there's a genre of metal called symphonic metal. So there's like bands like Camelot, Epica, Nightwish, Within Temptation for a while there. It was really heavily orchestrated. Like, we're talking full orchestra to heavy metal. And I was like, this is pretty sick. And I was like listening to it. And then I just kind of got into like a ring with people because I had a rock band, but it was nothing like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like in with that crowd. And then Cradle came along. And I just remember like being like, what? Like, why? Like, why is this happening? But heavy metal is so, like, I won't bore you to tears, but like the theory with heavy metal is so close to classical music. So like blending into that band took me no time at all. I just had to pull out like all my club goth clothes from like 8 years earlier. Thank God I didn't throw it out because I really needed a stage outfit. Luckily I still had my platform boots. Because when I was in school, I was like so plain, like not many people know this. Like my first year of uni, I'm like, I'm a classical musician now. Like I would show up and like it'd still be dark, but there'd be like some fall colors. It was like very polished and just very professional. And I'd put my hair up and, you know, I'd still be me, but I was just a little more mature me, like and then all of a sudden, 3 months later, I'm on a plane to Mexico and I'm like putting on a tutu and a corset and boots, and I'm like, what just happened?
What the fuck is going on in here on this day?
Yeah, like nothing makes sense. I'm so confused.
Literally went from like Disney Princess to Wednesday Addams.
Or like Maleficent or something. Yeah, it was literally, like being in Cradle was being in like the Addams family in a way. So yeah. Yeah, it was.
I am so jealous that you play the harp. I am like mesmerized by harps. I think they're so pretty and they sound beautiful, and I've never seen one in real life ever.
Oh my God, my heart's gonna break.
Yeah, I've never seen one in real life. I've never seen anyone play one in real life, and I'm obsessed with them. They're so gorgeous. There couldn't have been, you don't see angels with fucking guitars and tubas. Like, no, you see angels with harps because they're like the most angelic instruments. How'd you get into that? Like, where did you learn? You teach yourself?
Yeah, I did. I've had a few lessons. But I just love that everyone is so mesmerized by this instrument. And like so many people I talk to are like, I love it and I want to play it. And I'm like, where are you? Why aren't you? Like, you can get them for like $600 now. Like, you should totally go get one. They're just the best instrument in the world. But it was kind of like a calling, because I'm half Irish or Scottish. My dad will never give it up, but we're Irish, okay? and half Romanian. So the Irish side was like, I was really into folk music going into uni. And it was like my quarter life crisis. Like, I don't know if that's a thing.
It is.
With most people, but it was like, oh my God, I'm 24. I don't know what's going on. Like, you know, you just have that moment and you're like, a bunch of money drops in your lap and you're like, oh, I'm going to go buy a harp, not a Ferrari. Cause like the money in the bank is not there for that. And I don't really want a car and it's going to ruin. Like, why you do that? So I was like, okay, I'm going to grab a harp, but I've been wanting one for a while. Cause I heard this album by Bjork in my early 20s called Vespertine, and she had like the harp throughout it. It was like very, it's Bjork. She's from Venus. Like, she's not human. And the music's like, I don't want to even try to describe it because I can't. Just go experience Bjork on your own time. And I was like, man, that is so pretty and ethereal and like stunning. So I picked one up. And I was so bad when I first started playing it, because even though I had a classical training with piano, like the two instruments are nothing alike. So it was like going from like this, putting your hands flat, to like this, like that. So kind of like a bow and arrow. So yeah, I just kind of kept to it and like watched a bunch of YouTube videos and performers. And I'm like, oh, you're supposed to like play like this. And, you know, I guess it's gifted kid problems, but I was getting pretty, I was developing some really bad habits. And if you don't like reverse the bad habits, they can like give you really mangled hands later on. So I called up Kirsten Copley, and she's played for like Obama, Elton John, Enya, like Stevie Wonder, Evanescence. Like, she's played for everyone. So she was just like offering lessons over the pandemic, and I got like an hour-long lesson with her, and she showed me like what I needed to adjust, and gave me homework, and it was just like the coolest moment ever to like speak with her and talk about her career and see what she could offer me. So that was very, very cool. I to this day like cherish that lesson. But yeah, it's just, I think it's just the Irish blood was like, that's your instrument, so go get one. And now I'm sitting here with six harps. Like, I'm why do I do these? Why, you know, you're like, oh, I'll just like lick dogs or cats. Oh, I'll just get another one. It's like, yep, six harps later. Cool. My roommate's sick of it. He's waiting for the day he comes home and there's a grand harp in the living room. He's going to kill me, but it might happen.
When like you play one that's really big, does it like reverberate off the walls?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's that's intense. So cool.
Yeah. They're meant to keep up with the orchestra, right? Like they need to like have this bigger sound. I just have a bunch of little folk harps floating around, but one day I will have my grand harp. That's I'm still manifesting that.
Oh my God. I will manifest your grand harp for you. That is so cool. I literally, so one of the things that I had read on your website, because whenever we have a guest on the show, I like to just poke around in all of their business for like a week before, even when I'm like radio silent on social media, like I'm still poking around being nosy. I want to read this review that someone had left on Lindsay's website because it is so, it just, I don't know, it just hit me in my soul. Okay. I'm a words person. So this is like, most of the reviews on this page are about like how you play the piano and the harp and how it like takes people away to this like ethereal place. Someone says, Lindsay's Schoolcraft is incisive, slicing your skin off inch by inch with her talon-sharp words to reveal a creature that is damaged, disheveled, and unfinished with all the trials of life. She offers comfort in copious amounts without being judgmental. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I just feel like you are this, like, you're like this beautiful dark angel of harp music. Like, I want you to play at my funeral or something.
Well, I do weddings, so let's start with the wedding before you die, because you're not supposed to die before me. That's not okay.
That's true. That's true. If that ever happens for me, I'll call you up and you can like play harp music at my entrance. But like,
I'll be there.
Okay, my cat, I told you my cats would start fighting back here.
Oh, it's fine. I'm shocked mine hasn't acted up, so.
They're so ridiculous. But what was I saying? Anyway.
Oh, the review. That's so funny. I don't even remember who said that. That is intense.
Slicing your skin off inch by inch.
That was not my end goal when I wrote my music, but cheers.
Like, very femme fatale of you.
I know. I don't know how to even process that right now, but
I like it. I wish somebody would tell me that I was slicing their skin off inch by inch with something I was doing.
Listen, you have enough sass that like secretly we're all kind of scared of you because we think you could do that.
Honestly, believe it or not, I like everyone I meet in my adult life is like, oh, I bet you got in fights in high school, and I'm like, I've never physically fought anyone a day in my life.
Oh, you wouldn't have to with enough sass like that. People, you just give them like cut eye and they're like, nope.
just back off. Just leave me alone. Yeah, I feel that. Between that and like the music I listened to in high school, I think that probably just made people like leave me alone. My little emo self wannabe.
What did you listen to? Like in high school, I have to know.
Oh my God. So I was really, really into like when I was in high school, I remember a lot of alternative being like really popular. I'm trying to think of some bands. I remember for the longest time I was into Bring Me the Horizon, which is like the weakest of the weak with like, you know, I really thought that I was doing something with that. Like my 14-year-old self was like singing Chelsea Smile on the bus, thinking I was cool as fuck. And like, let's
so
see
cute.
What else. What was, there was one that started with an A that I used to listen to and I can't remember what it was, but just like very, nothing like cool and like underground. I definitely listened to like a lot of what my like older friends who were like in that kind of, you know, moshing scene, I guess, would like listen to. But I have really like just gravitated more over the years towards like quieter, softer music. And like everybody always says, like, turn it, like, you gonna get the aux chord, you play like sad stuff, you play like Laurel, like blah blah blah. Why do you play so much Ben Howard? And I'm like, if you are emotionally stunted, just say that.
Like, sorry, you have the emotional depth of a kiddie pool. Like,
for real, of a spoon, of a literal spoon. Like, I just like music. Like, I don't, sometimes I feel like I get overstimulated just hearing music that doesn't make me feel something. Like, if it's just like pop music or something in the background, I get really like pissy and irritable. And I just like to listen to something that I feel like the singer probably cried while recording it. Like, is that so hard? Is that too much to ask?
It's like, this is real. This wasn't like a big pop production that all this money went into that people did just to like process something to entertain. Like, clearly this artist has some depth to them and a story here. And it's like, yeah, you want to listen to stuff that hits you, you know?
Yeah.
Hits you in the feels, makes you cry, you know? Get it out. Good purge.
That's exactly what I'm going for. My three top favorite songs for the past like 2 years. One would be Sun King by Laurel. She is, I will send it, I'll like DM it to you later.
Please.
Because I really want to hear her. She never tours in the US, which I'm dying about because she lives in LA, but she never tours here. I would sell my left foot, Lindsay, to see this woman live. Like, I would bawl my eyes out.
I believe you.
And then also Vanilla Baby is a song by Billy Martin, and it's just the most soothing song. Just makes you feel like you need to just curl up in your like cute little artsy studio apartment with the rain coming down, like a cup of coffee and like a little book, or maybe you're knitting, or I don't know, I don't fucking knit.
That sounds so nice though.
And it's just like, it's just soothing, and it's just really interesting to see how like over the years your music taste changed. And I understand, like, you totally get that because you're like, well, I went from classical to like ethereal gothic like metal.
Yep. And now, like, it's weird, I only listen to like, I don't listen to or follow a lot of metal and rock. It has to be something that's like doing something really different to really catch my attention. But I listen to more like trip hop, and there's this genre of like electronic music called, it's called Witch House, because it's all like spooky. Yeah, it's like a throwback to like some dark wave and 80s sounds, but it's got this newer vibe to it, and I love it. And it, like, it's not like a, oh yeah, I practice the craft, I have to listen to Witch House. It's just something that like I fell into, you know, because of good old Spotify playlists and algorithms. But yeah, like, I, that's like my jam. Like, I love trip hop. I'm at heart, like, all my stuff actually starts as trip hop, and then I turn it into heavy rock.
I've never heard of Witch House in my life. You'll have to like send me.
Okay, I'll send you my playlist of my favorites. It's very ambient and weird. Like, you kind of feel like you're just like on your way to the club. It's the weirdest stuff.
I'm
but
trying
it's ethereal.
Of like I just looked it up, and someone has put on Google, like, is Crystal Castle's Witch House?
They're like the grandparents of it.
Really?
So yeah, like, think of like Crystal Castles, but like more ambient, and like there's a lot of male voices in it, like low male voices, like Trust and who's the other guy, Kitty something, I can't remember his name now, Mr. Kitty. Yeah, there's like some artists who like, yeah, it's like house music, but like really dark, kind of dark wave, but not, more like Crystal Castles.
Oh my god, I remember there's a video of me in college dancing on a table under like this green light to Empathy. I love that song so much. Like,
if it's a good
that's
song.
If that's what it's like, then I could totally get behind it, because that music just like makes you want to fucking.
Yeah, you'd love it. There's one artist, Sidewalks and Skeletons. Shout out to my buddy Jake. That's his project. And he's like baby Crystal Castles, but with like his own twist on it. It's very, very good.
Oh, that's so neat. That's the type of music I feel like your soul like just folds into. It's like,
oh yeah, it's like a hug during, like, that's the thing, like, my sister always knows, she follows, like, I don't know if you like have this for your friends and families, but on Spotify they can see what you're listening to, and she's like, oh, you're listening to Songs from Fallen by Evanescence again, what's wrong? Because, you know, that's like my comfort album, or like she'll see me listening to like really sad music and just call me, okay, I saw you listening to this.
I saw what you're listening to. I turned that off because there was a moment where I was I don't know what I was listening to. I think I was listening to something ironically, like with like a coworker over Zoom, like laughing about, like, let's say it was like Hannah Montana or something. And I hid it on Spotify because I was like, I know everyone who can see my stuff is going to be like, why were you listening to the Hannah Montana soundtrack? You're 27 years old. And I'm just like,
see, it weirds me out that, like, you know, like in my musician circle, anything goes. Like, you can listen to anything. We don't judge you. You're listening to a kid's album. Like, if that's your comfort album, like, who are we to judge? Right. But I feel like you shouldn't have to hide that part of yourself.
Yeah, you know, if I want to listen to the Lion King soundtrack, I should be able to.
Yeah, if I want to listen to Hillary Duff, leave me alone. Like, that's what I want.
Actually, I actually was obsessed with her. And when I got obsessed with her was with Lizzie McGuire when I was a kid. But the moment that I decided, like, I want to be that girl when I grow up was when she entered, like, her cool, like, rocker era, I guess, when she was like dating like Joel Madden or whatever, and I was just like, oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Like, I have a copy of that album on my shelf right now. It's yes, so good.
It's so good. I have the utmost respect for Hillary Duff. She's like one of the only Disney people I feel like who like was able to separate herself and like her life didn't go down the drain, because all of those poor actors and actresses like just got abused so badly and are so traumatized in their adulthood. It's like so fucking sad. It's so much talent. Like,
it's so bad. I can't, like, that's, there's a part of me, I've had this conversation with a few friends recently about how there was opportunities for my first punk band to get like really big in my early 20s, but it didn't work out. But like, because I would be an asshole and I would destroy my career before the age of 30, guaranteed. But like these kids, like they don't get a normal childhood. They don't get normal schooling. Not that the school system's all that great, but they don't get to, like, you know, they're like forced into, like, look at Michael Jackson. Like, they're just forced into it from such a young age, and they miss out on a lot of important things in life that most kids get to experience, which I guess is like vital to their development. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like they're all totally messed up. But I think like Hillary had a really, like, her mom was looking out for her. Like, as long as you have one parent around protecting you, I think you're okay. But yeah, I look at like Justin and like Aaron Brittany Carter. Obviously, oh my god, that was so sad hearing about that recently.
Yes, oh my god. And they're like they're already trying to like publish like this memoir or something like in a few months. And it's funny that we even brought up Hillary Duff, because I was reading this article before we started recording. She was like ripping the publisher of the book because the publisher was trying to make all these like speak about, this is so cringy. Like, the publisher was signing off on a part of the book that was talking about like Hillary and Aaron Carter dating and like having sex at like 12 years old or something.
Oh my god.
It's like, that is like, I hope you get sued, because this is a grown woman. She has children now and a life and like a career, and that's just so weird. This man just died and you're using this as a cheap money grab.
Oh, everyone does. It's Hollywood. It's like it kind of just, there's no humanity in it. It's like, how do we make a quick dollar?
Yes. You know, I could not be famous. I could not. Like, god forbid.
It's got,
like,
its perks. it's got its good moments, but like being that hyper famous, like, I've never experienced that. I have friends who are way more established than me, and they've had stalkers and crazy fans and really bad like managers who've taken advantage of them, like stuff like that. So there is like a really dark side to it. But, you know, my best advice to any creative, if you're going in that direction, is just like educate yourself on the business, and for god's sakes, have a good lawyer, you know, like a trusted lawyer to get you out of those dark situations. But there's also a beautiful side to being known, and like your music touches people and it helps them, and you know, they give you all this fabulous fan artwork to decorate.
I know. God, oh, they're all so neat. Like, they literally,
oh, yeah. They're from, like, some of them are from Russia. That one's from Russia, Poland, South America. No, that's America. South America. No, that's Italy. Yeah. Oh.
That was my timer for my birth control. It scared the shit out of me. It does.
It's okay. But yeah, and one is up there over there is from Australia. So it's like, you know, like you're doing something, you create this image and this sound and you put out this, your heart, you put it out there on the line and people just are really touched by it. And I love my fans. I have a really good relationship with my fans. I've had some interesting people over the years, but you just have to deal with them accordingly and be like, wish you well, but you can eat, just not at my table, peace, you know? Because I think some people, they're so in it with their mental health, they don't realize that just because the artist said something that healed you doesn't mean they're automatically your therapist just because you can get a hold of them online.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah. It's not acceptable. And I relate with that. I don't know. I don't think probably to the level that you have in your past, but like, it's a lot. And people, especially like younger people, don't realize, like, just because you can reach someone on a screen and like technically we don't have to open their messages, but like just seeing that there's, I don't know, I don't like to be that easily accessed, which is why most of my stuff is private on the internet.
Smart though, you're lucky that you have that, because my whole life is out there, like it's just there for everyone to see. And it's like sometimes you make mistakes and sometimes you say the wrong thing, God forbid. People I've like softly tried to, like, someone's like, people have tried to softly cancel me twice for like the most ridiculous shit that I'm just like, like, you're grasping at straws, sweetheart. But like, it's, you know, it's because I do put too much out there, and now I've got to kind of like wheel it back a little bit. I'm like, I'm just gonna like just throw out some songs and post a nice photo every now and then and like write a little thing, but I'm not like giving up my whole life like I used to. Like when I was in Cradle of Filth, I did way more and it really bit me in the ass because certain people thought they had more of a relationship with me than they actually did. So that's what happens. Like, so you're smart to keep your life private, totally, especially as your podcast grows and gets bigger.
Yeah, I have had like a couple instances where I've just been like scrolling on, you know, like TikTok or something, or like I end up on like the witch talk hashtag on TikTok, and like have seen people like make or say comments like about Liz and I, like shitty things, and I'm like, I know I probably shouldn't engage with this, but like I feel like this person kind of needs to be set straight. Like, you're not going to drag my name through the dirt. So like I've reached out and been like, hi, I'm a person too. Like, I use the internet too. I'm not like, so I don't have like a PR team handling my shit for me, you know, like think before you speak and put stuff out there that's hurtful.
Oh my God. I didn't know that. Like, that's pure jealousy, because there is nothing wrong with y'all. You all are smart and pretty and funny. And that is like a recipe for haters, because they're like, they're not as funny or as pretty or as smart or as beautiful. You know, you guys are so vulnerable on your podcast too. And like, I think that might strike a chord in them. I always say, when other people are acting up and hating, I'm like, that says more about you than it does about me, because I've had it too. I've had the hate. To this day, I still get it. People in the industry and fans, quote, say fans lightly, people out there on the internet, you know, and it's just like, I'm just like, that's a you problem. Like, clearly your life sucks so much ass that you have to like talk shit about someone you don't even know, that you're clearly just envious of because they're doing good. So I'm sorry to hear that. Like, I will go after them too. I don't spend enough time on TikTok. Be like, I'll just say something like, you know, just put them in their place. Just be like, you're wrong. This is why you're wrong. and hashtag, are you okay?
Yeah, hashtag please get a hobby, hashtag you must be lonely and bored. I don't know, people just don't. The internet is like, when I was, you know, a kid, it was like, be careful what you put out there. But I feel like as time has gone on, people care less and less about what they put out there, because they think that it's like, the internet is such an enigma now that it's like, you don't even realize how damning like some of the things you can say online can be to like somebody else. And yeah, I just like Liz, like she hasn't really like seen, like she'd only would see stuff if I would send it to her. So I like some of it, I was just like, look at this shit. Like, should we even respond to this? And she's like, nah, fuck them.
Blah. I could see Liz being like that, just being like, no, there's no point. Nah, why?
Yeah. And just that's why she balances me out. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like people, they see the logo of the podcast and they're just like, oh, like these two girls, like they're not going to have, they probably don't even cuss. They don't have a bad word to say. Like, try me. Like,
do you even listen to us?
Do you even listen?
I have to ask, because I love astrology. You're both Cancer. Is that correct? Okay. And then what are your moons? Because I feel like
is Pisces, and I believe hers is Aquarius, and she's a rising Aquarius too.
And what about your rising?
Virgo.
Okay, because like you're so spicy. You always come off as like a Leo, and I'm like, there's got to be Leo in her chart somewhere.
Everyone says that. I have like, I think the only thing I have in my chart that's Leo, my Mars is in Leo, I think.
There we go. That's like your fiery planet. Anger. That's where you're like, grr, justice and stuff. I think I could be wrong. Don't come at me, okay? If you want, you can come at me on Twitter. I'll ignore you. But you're like, I'm not a professional astrologer. But yeah, no, you're just like, you're so like feisty. And I'm just like, I wonder what her moon is. I feel like her moon is like a fire sign. But oh, I love that. Okay, yeah, you guys, you definitely balance each other out. You know, it's super cute to hear the dynamic.
Definitely do. It's very strange, and most of the time it's funny. Sometimes I just look at her and I'm just like, it's the fact that you're doing what you're doing right now and I'm not even reacting that lets me know that we've been friends for like 10 years.
Yeah, and you need friends like that who just kind of know like, okay, they're having their moment, I'm gonna go over here, I'm gonna let you cool down. And then I'll come back.
The amount of times Liz has watched me like have a mental breakdown over the FaceTime, or like I've had a mental breakdown and recorded the podcast and just said, we're just going to post it. Fuck it. Somebody out there needs to hear they're not by themselves.
Oh, it was me. Mothering wound. I was like sobbing because I haven't had kids and I don't think I'm going to, because I can't find a damn good man. And I never, like, I haven't been able to. Granted, in the artist pool, like most men are a hot mess and need, like, you know, their girlfriend to be their mothers to even survive and get through their next album. That's I'm not a house for broken men anymore.
Oh my God. That just gave me chills. Oh my god.
I don't know which part of it, but
no,
cheers.
No, the part where you were like you need this woman to mother you so you can get through your next album, like literally using this woman, you as a muse, like
they do.
So fucking mad.
Oh, trust me. And also, this is a very interesting thing that not a lot of people know about female musicians, is when you come in and you're like, I don't drink. I've been sober almost a year now. I've never done hard drugs. I'm like, I just want to make music and go home and chill. So you go in and like, you're this calming, organized, driven force that wants to like produce music and write it. Do you know how many of my guy friends, their girlfriends just hate me for that? Like the girlfriend hate I have gotten, because clearly your man's a mess. He's probably already cheated on you. You think he's going to cheat on you, and you think he's going to cheat on you with me, who like, I've never slept my way to the top. Like, ask anyone, I've never slept with anyone on tour. Like, I am a nun, because my career comes before any man. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not throwing away my career for nobody. So like, the female hate that I got, but then like, they're like, you know, mothering their boyfriends and like driving them around and making them food and changing their bed sheets. And I'm like, you are worth more. What is wrong with you? But then of course I've dated like a ton like that, and I'm just like, well, here we are at 36, unless a miracle happens next month, I'm probably never having children, you know. And that was like, I've struggled with it, you know, because I'm like, I know I'd be a fucking epic mom, but at the same time I'm kind of like, I'm glad I don't have kids, because if I did have kids, I wouldn't have been able to make space and navigate the openings that have happened in my career. You know what I mean? Because like, it's so easy for the guy to go on tour and leave the wife at home with the kids. But like, I've never met a man who would be like, yeah, I'll take care of the kids while you go on tour. Like, no, that was never in his life plan, because that's not what women do. So yeah, like it's that mothering wound episode. I was like crying. I'm like, I'm fine. It's just my allergies. On the way to the optometrist, just bawling my eyes out. It's just my eye exam. It's okay. Meanwhile, I'm like sobbing because I'm like, I may never have kids.
God. Hey, at least you can laugh about it at the same time.
I do, because I'm just like, I'm very like, I believe in divine timing, and because I've seen it my whole life, and I'm just like, you know what, like Linz, if you're gonna end up like Oprah, it's not so bad, because Oprah's done pretty good for herself. So
Oprah, like, has done pretty good for herself. Doesn't she have like a little stay-at-home boyfriend and like a rich best friend? Like they do everything together.
Oh yeah, like she's just got this whole community of like smart, sassy, like deep feeling wise people around her. Yeah, I can't remember his name. He has a very unique name, but they've been together forever and she's happy and she's like, yeah. You know, and it's like sometimes kids are not in the equation, but you know, maybe that's like, now I'm starting to see myself doing charity and like, you know, bringing together communities and minority producers and songwriters and engineers and like supporting them. So it's like, you know, if I had a kid, as much as it would have been so epic to like raise a human, granted, we have to remind her, like, I haven't found a dude worthy of having a child with me yet. That's like, cause it takes two, I'm sorry. It takes two to tango, it takes two to raise a kid. If you're not doing it together, you are just a waste. I'm sorry. How dare you? How dare you bring a child in this world and not raise it? How dare you? So anyways, I digress. I'm a little angry. Instead, I can do all this charity work to make, you know, the lives better of like these teenagers and young adults who want to follow the same career path as me, who probably aren't getting the same support at home that they deserve. Because I was alone. I my parents didn't understand it. I had to navigate it all myself. So if I can get someone on the right track quicker, you know, everyone has a purpose. Even if you don't have kids, there's still so much meaning and purpose that you can bring to the world. So I'm just kind of like at peace with that. Still a little angry, still a little mad. I wasted like my perky tit years and all my eggs on these useless excuse for men. But anyways, I digress.
Not perky tit years.
Oh girl, just enjoy it. Because when you get older, gravity starts doing its job. And they ain't what they used to be. Okay. That's why we got push-up bras.
The only reason that like sometimes I'm glad I have like pretty small boobs is for that, because every one of my friends who is like 33 or older has told me that shit. And they all say that, or like they'll poke my boob and be like, I remember when mine did that. I'm like, get off me, Melissa. Don't fucking touch me.
First of all, rude. What about like personal space? Like, you are in my energy field. How dare you?
Like, excuse me. Like, you don't just get to come honk on just because you see me walking up to you. Like, I remember when mine did that. Like, my sister did that to me once. I was like,
oh my God.
Jessica, what are you doing? You had two children and breastfed. We are not the same. Leave me alone.
I just would be so confused if someone touched my boob out of nowhere. Like, who gave you permission?
Literally, like, I was actually talking to my friend about this recently. She I won't like say her name, but if she's listening, she knows that I'm talking about her. She has always had like very big boobs her entire life, and she's also much taller than like most girls, so when people hug her, like naturally their head like touches her boobs, which like she doesn't care about. But she was like, I don't know. I was kind of just like thinking the other day, just like my boobs are like such a part of me that sometimes I feel like when my friends touch me, like they don't think about the fact that they're also kind of like touching my boobs, because they're so much a big part of my body. My friends are like, well, coming in for a hug, better just.
Oh, Jesus. I've never known this, first of all, but wow.
I was like, oh my God, wait, do you feel like your friends like sexualize you? And she's like, Kind of, but like in the best way possible. I was like, I'm never hugging you again because I'm terrified that like my head's going to rest on your left tit for too long.
That's so funny. She must be really tall.
Yes. Like, I mean, I'm not super short, but people say I have tall energy through the screen. I really, like, I'm not tall. I'm like 5'4", but she's probably like 5'7", 5'8", maybe. That's Mia scratching herself on the floor back here and thumping. But yeah, like it just cracked me up because she was laughing when she told me that. But then I got like really in my head about it. I was like, oh my God, like imagine, like I never have to move my boobs to like get around people. Like I can't imagine.
No.
You didn't ask to have big boobs and a gorgeous ass. Like
born that way.
Perfect. Also, I just googled Oprah's boyfriend's name. It's Stedman.
That was it, Stedman. Such a like. It sounds like a racehorse. Like it was just to me, it was like the weirdest name ever. But yeah, like they've been together a hot minute, and she's like Oprah's living it up. So, like she's not alone. And that's the thing. I think like there's this weird. Sorry, ranting. There's like this weird idea that like if you don't have kids, you're gonna die alone, and it's like. Well, the goth in me is like, well, we all experience death alone. Like, we all have to go through the process of death by ourselves. Like, I'm being a, you know, God, Edgar Allan Poe moment there. But, you know, it's like, there's no guarantees of like, your children are going to grow up and like you and take care of you when you die. So, like, you're not going to be alone. Like, there's at least going to be a nurse there. Like, relax. Yeah.
Unless you keel over and like die in your home, like, you're at least going to have like,
yeah, so you know, like don't feel pressured to have kids and have a family because like you think that that's what's going to guarantee you company as you age. Like I guess because we're like the suffering artist club, the broken artist club or whatever, broken hearts club, we're all like this community of musicians in our late 30s who support one another, and they're all over the world. Like I could go anywhere in the world and crash on someone's couch and I have friends, and they know that. Same here whenever they come to the Toronto area here in Canada. But like, you know, I've never been like, oh no, I'm gonna die alone. I'm like, no, like, you know, we'll take care of each other, it'll be fine. Like I'm gonna be calling my musician friends when I'm 70, you know, just be like, hey, how's it going, what are you doing today?
Exactly. And I like, that's like, I wish that everyone could bank on their friendships like lasting like that regardless of like who's married and who has kids, because when you like don't, when you like, I think one of my biggest fears about having kids is like losing myself to motherhood and like being only a mom, and then you don't have shit to talk about with your friends, because I've seen it so often in my friends with kids, all they want to talk about is what color their kids' poop is, and I'm like,
oh no, no, no,
I love you, but like no thanks. Like I hope that when I'm 80 years old that I still feel like I can call my friends up and, you want to come over and watch a movie?
Right. And that's my mom has told me it changes, because like now she's got like a book club and a movie club, and she goes to the gym and she has like hobbies, and she's like, yeah, because she's not a grandmother yet, but like, and oh boy, she gave me shit about that for a while, and I'm like, why, you want me to bring life in the world for you? You can have it, like you can keep it, but I'm going on tour, you know, like
time to go stay with grandma, mommy's on tour, bye.
Yeah, see you in 6 months, kiddo.
Yeah, for
don't
real.
Eat can't blue. Yeah. Like, you know, so, but it happens as you get older, like you kind of find yourself again. But yeah, like my mom, it's strange. Like my mom knew she wanted to be a mom. She's one of those people who are like, I know I'm going to be a mom. I really want to be a mom. Mm-hmm. And she did her best. She didn't expect to end up with me and my sister. Oh God, you don't even know. You would love my sister. She's wild. But you know, it's like now that she's not in motherhood anymore, she knows who she is again. But you do want to enjoy your youth, because she says like, yeah, when you're younger, like go traveling, go get certifications, try new things, because when the kids come along for 20 years ish, like that's it. Like that's if you want to do it right. And I'm like, oh, wow. No, I'm good writing my next symphonic piece. Cheers.
Yeah,
you're the idea of.
You have fun wiping babies' butts. I will have fun hanging my new vinyl over their crib.
That is exactly it. I'm like my best friend from high school. We've known each other for Oh God, 23 years. We met each other when we were 13. And she just had her first baby, and that is her whole life now. And I'm just like, okay, good luck with that.
Miss you. Bye.
Miss you. She sends me photos of when he poops himself. And I'm just like, I love you, but like, I don't care.
I don't want to see that. And like, you've been her friend for 23 years. I think by now she should know. Like, Lindsay doesn't want to see my kids poop.
Oh, she doesn't care. She's so proud of this thing that she made. And I'm like, I get it. I'm proud of my album. So like, if you're proud of the human you produce, like, good on you.
Honestly. And like, this is, I always make a disclaimer whenever I'm talking about like people who are like young, like people my age or like younger, like 22 to 25, whatever, who have kids and then feel like their friends like leave them. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, like, I really don't mean to be a jerk by saying, like, at some point, a lot of my friends that have had kids, I feel like I just lost most everything we had in common. Like, they don't have an interest in it anymore. And mm-hmm. like, that sucks. Cause then I try to be empathetic and I try to think, like, if that was me, like, I'd be so bummed out that like something so important to me, my friggin' child, is so like not of like this big concern to my friends that I've been friends with for like most of my life. But it really, like, motherhood takes over your entire being, as it should, partially, yeah, because you're raising another freaking, I respect the hell out of, you know, like, I'm glad that you're such a good mom that you don't have time to FaceTime. Good. Good.
Yeah.
But like, respectfully, don't send me poop pics.
That's like, me and my sister still do that as a joke, like when we drink like a blue slushy, and that's just me and my sister, like, but I don't want to see some kid's diaper filled up. I'm like, that's wow, like, you know, now I don't want to eat lunch, you know. But yeah, I get that. But they, like, I'm chill. I'm just like, whatever, like, as long as you're happy, you know, no one died, you're not being like mean to a minority, like, we're good.
Yeah, and like, you know, you're not doing hard drugs, it's fine. But yeah, for future reference, only send me poop pics if it's got that like filter over it that you send with iMessage that covers up the poop like it's a nude.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's like, yeah, that's what that is.
Ooh, I learned something today. I'm gonna try that. And I'm just gonna confuse people with blurry pics. Like, what are you hiding? It's just like my laptop or stuffed animal.
If you rub your finger over it, like, the glitter moves away and you can see the picture. But I think it's supposed to be for like, this is not safe for work, like nudes and stuff.
Oh, but like, I'm just going to mess with people. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, they're going to be like, what is this? What is that? Also, what is the back of my head? What is that?
I don't know. You got like some kind of big cornucopia going on there. You have such fluffy hair.
It's super frizzy this week because I made the mistake of putting too much product in it and then straightening it. And the product is trying to curl it up like while it's straight. So it just like looks like dog shit. But
great.
You know, we try. Stop whistling back there. She just whistles. She just whistles all day long because she wants attention. Oh, God. Okay, so let's see. What should our Ostara egg be? We have so many different things. I wish there was a Disney princess.
There is like a crown. There's also a bra for perky tit ears.
There's a bra, or is it
it's like a bikini, I think. Hold on, I gotta look here. Oh my God, if my son, one of my bosses, I sent him just a bra emoji, like, instantly fired. I just got the job, I can't lose this job. There's like the little bikini, and then I think there's a diaper somewhere, and no, there's a crown. I'm just looking at all the people's. I don't know. I can't decide.
It's totally up to you. You've got to make a decision. It's the rule.
Okay, hold on. I don't see a diaper anywhere. There's no like baby emoji. Well, there is a baby emoji, but I don't know. I feel like we talked a lot about the Lion King. Can we make it the lion?
Yeah. Okay.
Make it the lion.
If you listen all the way through the episode, go to this week's Instagram post. and comment a lion emoji.
These are kids for life.
Yeah, exactly. Also because Lindsay assumed that maybe I was a rising Leo, and I'm not, but she's not the first person to assume that. Most people assume I'm a Sagittarius, which I'm like, no, I'm not.
You don't like Sagittarius?
I don't like Sagittarius men. I have a lot of Sagittarius men.
Yeah. Really? Because like mine, I feel like in my 20s, male Scorpios were given a really bad rap because they were mostly like these messy, artsy types that I was attracted to. And they were like really stingy and mean. And as a Pisces, I was like, don't do that. But now as I'm older, like my weakness is Libra men or Gemini. And I'm like, no.
No.
Like, I know. I don't know why. I'm like, I just need to find me a good Leo man and just like chill out. They're always like my partners in crime. But yeah.
What's the opposite of Pisces?
The Virgo. Virgo on the chart.
Virgo man.
All the Virgo men I've met are just like, they have no spine. Like I'm so like, I have a lot of Sagittarius in my heart, like four planets. So I've got a lot of Sag in me. So I'm like, no, you better be like, you know, conquering shit. And like you can't just be a pushover. I'm just so not attracted to that. I like leaders. And this is my problem. I just need to, like my mom told me years ago, just marry a simple man who's a hard worker. I'm like, oh yeah, mom, that sounds exciting.
No, yeah, don't settle. I'd rather not get married if it meant that if I got married, I was settling for.
Yeah, never settle. Never settle. That's why I'm where I am in my career. I never settled. Never settled for less. So I'm not going to do that with men either.
But sorry about it.
I'm not sorry about it.
No, not sorry about it. Sorry, yeah. But we're not sorry about it. I think we actually had an episode called that before. I have like 10 episode name ideas. I can't wait to surprise you with which one I pick.
Oh, no. Oh, shit. Good luck.
I love coming up with them. It's so funny.
No, they're great. Every time a title comes up, I'm like, oh, no. What's this one?
I'm trying to think of the worst episode title we've ever had.
Well, Lexapro's Lexaproing was funny. I'm going to go to your show list now because there were some really funny ones.
But Lexapro was Lexapro. Literally, when Liz flew through that car window.
Oh my God. Is she okay?
She is, but she was just like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you about it. I'm like, bitch, you need to tell your doctor your medication is working a little too well. You flew through a car window and didn't even tell me.
Like, how do you do that? Oh, I have some stories being on tour, people just destroying themselves, falling downstairs and being completely fine. And I didn't party that hard, but people I was around was like, oh my God, not your mama. Your brush is your wand. I'm like way back here.
Oh, not your mama. That was a fun time. We really, sometimes I want to have like a mini like podcast that is literally just women talking about all the men that they've mothered.
Girl, we could be here for 2 more hours. Like the stories I could tell you about like when I didn't value myself and know my worth. And like, it's how my mom raised me, like to think like, oh, you just got to make it work. Even though my dad's not a bad person, but he was never perfect. And my mom just put up with a lot of shit. So she ingrained into me like, you got to make it work. You got to put up with his shit and make it work. And I've been doing that for like, literally, like, when did I start dating? I started dating really young. I've been doing that for like 20 years. And it's like this evil pattern. And it's like, you know what? Not doing that no more. I like coming of age, coming to the middle of my life. I value my peace more than chaotic company. Like, I want to be happy. I want to be focused. I like being alone, which is very hard to give up. Like, you better come into my life and bring something to the table and make like my evenings better and my like everything better, or you're just not welcome here. Because so many years I have just put up with these men who like just don't know what they want, emotionally unavailable. Oh my God, we could have a whole, you want to do a dating episode on like, you knowing your worth? I would love to come back. I mean, like, some of my exes might be a little mad, but like, sorry, bro, you made mistakes. Like, you need to own, like, that's another thing. No accountability.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We can tell aliases. Stories. We can make aliases for them. You can just, like, call them by, like, different names, like Billy Bob and, like, Tyler or whatever. But I would love to. I love to.
Oh, yeah. I could tell you so many stories. And just, like, and then, like, they go and date your friends. And you're like, who are my friends? Like,
if that has never happened to me, but if that ever happened to me, I would probably have a full mental breakdown.
Oh, well, let's do the dating episode. I have a story for you, so maybe you can. I never prepared for it. To these days, I don't talk to these people, but it's like, how do you go from helping your friend break up with your boyfriend who was horrible to you, cheated on you, abused you, and now you're married with him with kids? Oh, yeah, it's a story. It's a story. And their marriage is not all like a like beautiful walk in the park. It's a disaster. Well, so, like,
she should have seen, you know, the writing was on the walls. She had a fair warning with you. So that's on her.
Exactly. But it's just like, how do you like, it just was so sensitive in our friend circle. And we're all like, this is awkward. But yeah, we'll save it for another episode.
Yes. Oh, my God. Literally, I'm going to like email you and be like, hey, pick another date so that we can do this, start this dating series.
Go seriously. And I hope Liz can make it too, because I'm sure she's got some stories as well.
Oh, yeah. Please check all of the links in the description. I will have Lindsay's website, Lindsay's music, her freaking Instagram account. Like I said, lay back, enjoy the beautiful harp music, fucking absorb it into your soul, and stay away from men.
Yeah, until he's the right one, until he show up.
And don't look for him, let him find you.
Yep, don't chase, only attract.
Exactly, I don't chase, I attract. okay, and with that, I'm going to sign off, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.